learned so much at Oracle, moved on to companies like Dropbox and Slack and Miro, to name a few, all part of true customer success organizations, mid-market SMB. This mid-market segment started to catch fire. And by the time it hit about 20 million in ARR in the US, people started taking note.
And that's incredible that you guys built it all in-house and had that kind of collaboration within the company.
Welcome to the Revenue Rebels podcast, brought to you by Warmly. On this show, we cut straight through the fluff and dive deep into the specific tactics that B2B revenue leaders across sales and marketing are using to find success in today's environment. I'm your host, Alan Zhao. If you're a fan of the Revenue Rebels podcast, please leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Your support goes a long way to helping us bring on more amazing guests. Thank you.
That's incredible that you guys built it all in-house and had that kind of collaboration within the company. You know that this experience was working. For example, like I deliver experience and they see it and they close it. How did you get it? Did you A/B test it? Was it retention test? Yeah.
All the above. And when I say experiments and test and iterate, yep, we did it all, my friend. And I think that's where I should have started too. When I say we, I truly mean we. One of the core values of Dropbox when I was there, I know they've since evolved, but the whole we, not I, quote unquote, approach. That's what drove such heavy collaboration and trust in each other's orgs and the proven and trusted business cases to get these things done. Also knowing that we've got a customer base that is growing rapidly and we want to enhance that experience and continue to grow and retain. So that's where I'll answer you directly is between adoption, expansion, and retention goals, we monitored them heavily. It was... Of course, we looked at quarter over quarter, because again, when we started in Q1 of 2018, looked like X. We piloted it with a certain number of accounts and certain number of people and certain things in the market. How are we moving the needle on these three targets? And then once we started to show improvement, okay, we're moving into Q2. We're going to up the ante, but we're still looking at these things. But I think what I really want to hammer in with you across those three items, we never lost sight of that. And there was a really specific North Star that we were measured against. And as long as we continue to focus on that North Star, we could still have incremental experiments down the line to see how we could continue to evolve and do better. But we never lost sight of that North Star. And we couldn't have more than one North Star. But across adoption, expansion, and retention, we were able to break that data down to then parlay back to the North Star to say, are we reaching this target? And that's how we prove out success quarter over quarter. And it just continued to amplify.
Yeah, it's not too unlike marketing where you have so many channels that you're testing and it's really hard to attribute the success of the whole company's revenue or pipeline to any one channel.
Yep.
So we typically just say that we did a bunch of these things and next quarter it increased pipeline by 50%. As a portfolio, this portfolio is looking pretty good.
Yep. And I think you're so right. So heavy plus one on that. And I think ultimately like, when I think of the early days of standing up this segment and all of the support we had, both on and off the team, we're looking at how do we prevent these customers from churning? Again, anchoring in retention. How do we continue to drive more adoption? Again, it was a license-based model, so it was pretty black and white. You have this many licenses in your segment. How many have been activated? How many have been adopted? How many of these people are actually active users on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis? And what does this translate to? And if you think about it, it was in that early to mid 2018 realm when we went public. So getting this engine revving and getting this figured out, but also a lot of optimization that happened after IPO really helped us get really savvy on answering to the street what we needed to get really buttoned up on. But we had the tools and strategies in place. We just needed to continue to perfect. I think ultimately using those things across the churn prevention and the adoption strategies and the deployments and activations that we were driving within those accounts. And again, leveraging the technology to do it at scale. Again, there's so much to unpack, but those were the pillars of our success.
So we talked a little about leveraging the technology. How did you integrate the people? When did you know to bring the humans in?
There was, I think ultimately, I'm thinking about where we are and our current environment and economic factors and just where we are, like CS in general in the world. Throwing warm bodies at problems is not an option. I think we all know that. Again, to answer your question, I think ultimately you have to have really sound headcount cases. And that for us at Dropbox, not only were we mindful of budgetary restraints and growth models, we had to prove, okay, this amount of business justifies a head because we know once we apply a CSM to this book, it is projected to grow by X. So it was very sound, but also very simple. Once we started to think about the growth of the business such that we started hitting 2.5 to 3 million incremental to what the team was already managing, we knew to bring someone else in. You can break it down by revenue. You can break it down by number of accounts. You can marry that together. And we had just a very simplistic model of that sort that mapped to our segment, but also mapped to revenue with the expectation you would grow that 2.5 to 3.5 to 5. And that's how we continue to make that model possible. And then once we added people over time, we could prove that out to make sure it was working and make any adjustments that we needed.
What was the core focus area for the CSM assigned to the accounts?
It was just, again, back to the North Star. It was, adoption, retention, and expansion. So when I look at those three nuggets, there's a lot of things we were doing to support those things. But I think ultimately when you take on a segment that is completely unmanaged, it's okay, you're growing. But the one thing we quickly noticed was, okay, we're landing all this net new, but our existing business, the bottom is falling out. So you can go close 10 customers, but if you're losing 20, you're missing an incredible opportunity. I think we started to figure out, okay, plug the leaky bucket. What does that actually mean? And that means retain. With retention at the center of everything that we did, okay, when in order for them to be retained and backing out through that customer journey, they have to be adopting, they need to be consuming, they need to understand the value that they're getting. Again, threading the needle with you, coming back to the ability to start prompting in product. This is how you share a folder, or this is how you share store things in your folder. And then as we started to mature in a multi-product scenario down the line, we started to phase in, okay, there's heavy bets on this feature. It's going to drive this virality and valued up adoption. We start to intertwine those things. It gives CSMs focus, gives customers focus, but also allows the machine learning to continue to do better and better. But I think preserving and growing your existing base, and of course the cost savings that are derived from that, in addition to then attacking the net new with those strategies from go, it prevented those accounts from fizzling out. Once we started to close the gap and then infiltrate the net new, this incredible bridge of success was built. And again, you see this growth trajectory of mid-market, as we called it, just start to hockey stick.
Seems like a beautiful system you guys created. You found the playbooks to activate, which also helps with retention. It helps with activation for net new and expansion. And it became a product, an extension of the product team in general, providing that feedback for future iterations of what features to build.
Thank you for saying that. It was magic in a bottle. And again, I think for the audience, there's so much I could be saying, but it might sound foreign. So I think in order to keep it simple and keep it poignant, we also knew from the digital realm that, okay, there was a renewals function that was born out of this. Okay, CSMs they're doing a lot of things, but we decided, okay, to scale this out, we got to own the epicenter of what the value and the adoption and strategies are. We can't also be the renewal manager. So as the business grew, we were able to solidify investment and standing up a renewals function. So again, our team spun off and a cousin team was born, if you will. And then also a true digital success team was born. So you could see these little pockets of tentacles coming off this segment where, again, it was supporting the entire business. And then also at the end of the day, ensuring that the collaborative actions was one thing, but we had what we called an activation checklist. And it was the top 10 things that every customer must do to be the creme de la creme, the healthiest, the savviest, the most adopted. Therefore, our value assessments were rock solid. This is what we're delivering from you. And again, heavy partnership with data science and our product teams and so many other, leaders and teams in between. But that activation checklist also became this kind of like hit list. If we could do this at scale in our books of business for customers and say, okay, you've got 8 out of 10 done. Here's how we can get you to do the other two. And here's what it will unlock for you. It became super simple. And like I said, pretty black and white. We were careful not to over-engineer. We were dedicated in keeping it simple. And then three, foundationally, it was measurable. And both internal and external consumption was non-debatable.
It's amazing. Has anyone in your career made a big impact on you that you'd like to give a shout out to?
There are so many people. I could probably talk to you for another 30 minutes on rattling off a list. I think first and foremost, the man who challenged me and encouraged me to take this on, stepping into a mid-market function with nothing and being supported in building and driving strategy, Ross Piper, hero, legend on so many levels. Shout out to him. And then our VP of strategy and operations at Dropbox during that time, who is also a legend in her own right, Yamini Rangan, is such an inspiration to me as well. Sitting in rooms with her and having strategies critiqued and challenged and debate, but also the encouragement to go do it better. She was a force. And a third one that I would shout out was a mentor in Arden Hoffman. She was our chief people officer, who is now at General Motors. But between those three legends and ultimate rock stars, I am indebted to them. I admire them. I love them. And as I navigate my career and even reflect on this time, it is impossible not to think of those three.
How can people find out more about you?
You can drive to my LinkedIn page. I am probably there more often than not. I think I'm very active on numerous channels, but I think ultimately LinkedIn is what I'm striving to do more of, just professionally. However, I'm active on many channels, social or otherwise. Don't be shy to reach out. I'm always happy to have these conversations, dig deeper where there might be interest, and also network with wonderful people like you or otherwise. Again, I welcome any sort of outreach, connection, anytime, all the time.
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, too.